Japa meditation techniques. Okay, now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, as they say. So this is this first technique, you can say, is about the feelings that we mix into the holy name, the general feeling. Like oftentimes people, when they're together, they say, "Oh, you're here, but I don't feel anything." You know, since I was married for a few years, I have some vague experience of these kind of dealings. And people say, "Oh, you know, everything's the same, but I lost a loving feeling, or there's some feeling, the love light went out, or never started, or whatever." There's something different mood. So, but we all have some experience to what it means to be with a person and have fun and not have fun. Although even the same person, it depends on the feeling, the mood, the internal aspect. It's called the internal, almost the imperceptible aspect. You know, your hand is there touching a person, but your hearts are not touching. So if the hearts are not touching, there's no satisfaction unless hearts touch. So this also applies to the holy name. Our hands may be touching the beads, and our ears may be touching a sound vibration. But unless our heart is touching, then we don't have much satisfaction. So this is this particular section is called Shelter and Surrender. In Arundhaya Kirtan, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the nectar-filled names of Krishna are the sole shelter within the universe. Krishnanam sudakoriyapan jurao bhakati vinodapran nam bina kichu nahika ar choda bhuvanam haje. He's saying, drink the pure nectar of the holy name of Krishna and thus satisfy the soul of Bhaktivinoda. Except for the holy name, there is nothing within the 14 worlds. So, nam bina, it's like same as Hindi. Nam bina kichu nahika ara. There's nothing else here. Nothing, not even something. Kichu nahika ara. Choda bhuvana means 14. Cho and das. Choda. Choda bhuvana. Bhuvan means the worlds. So, he's saying this. He's a great Mahajanacharya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's a guru of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. But we may have some other idea. But the book is telling here, one must be thoroughly convinced that there is absolutely no other shelter or source of protection in this trouble-filled world besides Lord Sri Krishna, who is fully present in his holy name. With this conviction and realization, one should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this paragraph gives some idea of a technique. It's talking about conviction and realization. So realization comes by experience. If we're conducting business in a particular way and we're always getting a loss, then we have to analyze what is the problem. We can call in troubleshooters also. In business, sometimes they have what they call troubleshooters. They come into the factory and say, "Oh, your production line, you're putting your goods here and you're boggling everything up here." And they give some advice how to improve production, or maybe marketing strategy or marketing techniques, how to change your market or change your product. So they give some advice. And then that's the advice, and you apply it, and then you see the good result that hopefully comes, and that's your realization. So the statement is that Krishna is the only protection. Krishna's holy name is our only protector and it's our only shelter. So if we're in dangerous situations, we find ourselves in dangerous situations or perilous situations or frightening situations, sometimes just from a nightmare or just a sense of fear over fear or whatever, or some danger, and then we take shelter of Krishna's name sincerely, calling out and crying out to Krishna's name or to Krishna in his name, and we see what happens. And Krishna reciprocates with us, and that increases our faith because we get some realization, "Oh, I tried this." Like people say, "Oh, go to Balaji. Go to Venkateshwara Balaji and worship him and make a deal with him." Do some business with Balaji. Say, "Listen, Balaji, please bless me, I'm going to open this new product line, and if I'm successful, I'll give you like 50% of my profits. And usually I don't say that much, but they're not so gracious. So then you go and you make a killing in the market, and then you come back reluctantly and just, you know, just your fingers are itching, you know, you're biting your fingernails, you know, God, I said I would give 20%, now I made a profit, I don't know what to do. And you discuss it with your wife, do I really have to give the 20%? You know, I promised him, but, you know, now we got this big profit. You know, what, we really have to give.
I should have said 5.
Why did I say 20, you know? And wife says, no, but you said you promised this God, you know, he wouldn't have any profit without his blessings. I know, but, you know, that really hurts. You know, 20% is like 3 crores. And, you know, that's a lot of money. And besides, he's so rich, you know. I saw in the paper the other day, somebody offered him a 20 crore diamond studded crown. So what is my 3 crores? It's nothing. And wife says, yeah, you're right. You know, that's right. Maybe you can buy me a diamond. Maybe buy me a diamond crown. Forget that Balaji. Why don't you give him 5% and buy me a diamond crown? And still you'll make 10% profit. 5% for my diamond crown. 5% for Balaji. And still you got 10. And don't give him anything. Oh, yeah, very good idea. Okay. So we, Krishna, we don't do business with him, but we have no other shelter. We realize, what is my shelter? My body is my shelter. My family, my friends, my mother, my father, what is my shelter? Where are they when I need them? They're not there. That's amazing. That's the speciality of the material world. When you need support, when you need protection, when you need help, your whole support system is not there. It's just you and a car and a Mack truck coming right at you. And the guy's drunk. He's going, hey, wait a minute, he's coming right at me. I don't have time. Where the road is, one where to go? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Boom! You know. It's like this. I remember once I was in a car with my friend Nagaraj, and we were coming from, I don't know where, somewhere like Washington, D.C., going to north to Philadelphia, and on some interstate highway, these big highways. We're crossing a bridge. When we crossed a bridge, we're coming to this bridge, a big bridge, and all the roads were covered with ice. There's snow everywhere. It's wintertime, like this time of year. And then we saw ahead that all the car, when the cars went over the bridge, because the rest of the road was kind of snow, and you can get a little traction with the bridge because it was colder or something. It was just ice. It was just like, because it was warmer underneath, it was melting and then freezing and melting and freezing because it was a bridge over some river. So the other part had snow on it, you can get some traction in the snow, but this snow had melted because of the heat of the river, and then it froze, so it was just ice. And we were driving, and all of a sudden, as we got close to the bridge, they said, look, and the cars are going, woo, woo, woo. And the cars are all like, you know, like, just like, going like this, like it's called fishtailing, and one car is going, boom, and boom, boom, and they're all just going, wow, it was like a holocaust. The cars are just like bumper cars in some, you know, funhouse, you know, tong, tong. They're just bouncing all this, because the bridge is like that, they had nowhere to go, they're just bouncing and smashing, and I said, wow, this looks like bad news, and we're coming right into this. So I said, slow down, you know, so, you know, because we got to go slow and, like, go through this bridge very slowly, otherwise we're going to slide around and crash up too. So we're going very slow, and then Nagaraj is driving, he looked in a rearview mirror, and there's some guy behind us, and he saw the thing, so he put on his brakes, but he was, like, sliding on the ice. It's like this big car or truck or something. He said, Maharaj, you know, you're looking in the rearview mirror, and the image is getting bigger and bigger. He said, Prabhu, or something, he probably said Prabhu. He said, Prabhu, just hold on. He said, hold on, Chet, Hare Krishna, because I think we're going to get smashed. You know, so we're just sitting there, you know, because we're slowing down. And I said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh! You know, the car is, you know, pushed us forward into the bridge, and then we went like that into the side. Boom! You know, and it's like, like this, you know, it's like, and then all of a sudden it stopped. It's like, I said, Nagaraj? I said, yeah. I said, what? And we expected everything to be broken, cut, smashed, everything. You know, the window was smashed, the back window, the front window. And the, you know, it's like, I said, we better get out of here because this is like, we're on the bridge and all these cars are coming. It was like being in a mixing, you know, like somebody drops you in a mixer or something. You know, you're going to get chopped up. So we got out of the car, and the car was like an accordion, you know, this, you know, accordion, they go like this, a little keyboard on it. So the car was like, we just both got out and went, our legs were wobbling,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. and we just, oh, it's a mess, bodies and blood, and it's all over the place. It was like 20, 30 cars. It was a very long bridge, you know. So we just got off that bridge and went up on this hill on the side, and we're saying, Hare Krishna. And somehow, I don't know what happened after that. We, you know, I don't know, some tow truck towed our car away, and then we rented some car and went to the next place. I don't know, whatever. Like, Krishna saved us. But we, at that moment, you can't say, Mommy! Mommy! So we have to have faith. So we should chant the holy name with the conviction and realization. To have faith in the holy name. So now we say, well, you know, I'm chanting the holy name, but I don't have much faith. So how can I increase my faith in the chanting of the holy name? So, what's the answer? The question is, how can I increase my faith in the holy name?
To hear the glory of holy name?
Yes, that's correct. To hear the glories, there are so many scriptures that describe the powerful effects of chanting and the benefits of chanting and the identity of the holy name.
By chanting also.
Of course, by chanting we also increase our faith because we get
realization.
We get revelation, and we by association we can increase our associating with advanced chanters or devotees that have advanced, like a taste, like our corner lady. You go and sit with her and chant. It's told by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you sit with devotees that have a taste for chanting. Just like if you have a friend, he says, oh, you know, do you like ice cream? No, I don't like ice cream. No, come with me to the ice cream shop. I'll show you how to get into ice cream. See, like you, when you come, when did you have ice cream? What kind of ice cream you have? Oh, I just had some vanilla ice cream. Oh, no. And you don't like vanilla ice cream? Oh, no, come with me, I'll take you to the ice cream store. You go, look, there's strawberry fudge, and there's pineapple walnut, and there's maple chocolate, or whatever, I don't know, whatever. And then, see, you buy the ice cream, you put sprinkles on it, you put these little sprinkles things, and then you can get hot fudge sauce, you know, and then, and now try it. Oh, wow. This is really something extraordinary. I never knew ice cream would be so good. You mean you put nuts on it? Yeah, there's banana split, man. You never had a banana split? With three things ice cream, put bananas around and cherries and strawberries and sauce and this, that. And it's like unbelievable.
Sunday.
Sunday, yeah, Sunday. S-U-N-D-A-E. It's all totally Maya. It can't be offered to Krishna. He doesn't eat that junk. But anyway, it's just an analogy. So then if you associate with that ice cream lover, then you may get some attraction or attachment for ice cream. The same thing, if you associate with someone who loves the holy name, who loves to chant the holy name, then some of that love, some of that enthusiasm will come to you. So that's why I'm saying our corner lady. The lady's trying to get a brown face because she has a white face. And all you ladies are trying to keep your white face from turning brown. You should just give your brown to her. You'll stay white and she'll become brown. You get a suntan. She's chanting 64 rounds a day for 17 years. So that means she has some taste. So you should do some service to her, you know. Give her some Mahaprasad.
She needs something as well.
So this is one thing. But now what the book is actually addressing here, which is a little more, it's like, at home, what we can do within ourselves, even if we don't have association or we're not able to sit with tasters of the holy name, like they have wine tasters club. I don't know about India, but in the West they have these wine tasters club. You go and you taste wine, you go around the California Valley and you go into the different wineries and you can taste the wine. Oh, this is 1978, this is 1992 and this and that. And you say, oh, very, very good. Bah, bahut badhiya. How much for 1 liter? Oh, it's $100. Okay, good. It's called wine tasters. So there's nam tasters. Those that taste the holy name. So we have to find those tasters and try to bribe them or please them or somehow satisfy them. So to have faith in the holy name, so what's the answer that's given here? The answers that were given by the devotees are also correct. But this is an answer that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives. He says, he gives some of the ones you said also. To have faith in the holy name, one must firmly establish the six symptoms of self-surrender, sharanagati, within his heart. Jiva Dharma gives a clear description of surrender. Anukul yasya sankalpa, pratikul yasya bharjanam, Rakshishya Titi Vishwaso Goptritve Varanam Tata Atmanakshepa Karpanye Shadvida Shanagati. This is Sanskrit from Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is also mentioned in his book Jiva Dharma. The first two symptoms of surrender are Anukulyasya Sankalpa and Pratikulyasya Varjanam. One should take a solemn vow, which means Sankalpa, that I will only do that which is favorable for unalloyed bhakti, and I will reject all unfavorable acts. So things that are favorable for pure devotion to Krishna, pure love of Krishna, those activities which are pleasing to Krishna, and they are done in a positive mind and a favorable heart, favorable attitude. Like we decide, let's go play basketball. So I mean, one devotee, I saw he broke his arm. I said, how did you break your arm? He said, I was playing basketball. I said, that's favorable for Krishna consciousness? He said, well, it was keeping me fit. It was good for my physical health. But somehow I said, now what are you going to do? You broke your wrist. He broke his wrist. So I think I'm not going to play basketball anymore. Because Prabhupada once he said that Vaishnavas, of course, we should also keep physically fit. And he said that as far as sports go, this Gauranga Jal Keli, we call it Gauranga Jal Keli, this our afternoon program. As far as Vaishnava sports that are permissible are wrestling and swimming. I mean, walking, of course, that's natural. People go for a walk, that's also permissible, that's also... Because you can chant japa when you walk, you can listen to a tape, you can remember Krishna. And Prabhupada also did that. He took a massage every day in his morning walk. But as far as you want to sport around, although Prabhupada said there should be no frivolous sports, but devotees sometimes wrestle. I remember back in the 70s when Prabhupada was here, we used to have wrestling matches on the bank of the Ganga in Mayapur. During the... it's different countries, America versus Germany and Japan versus France and semi-finals and finals. Lightweight, middleweight, heavyweight, like this, different categories. And then the way you would win, you'd be wrestling on the bank, and you have to throw your friend in the Ganga. So it's kind of fun. And so it's like you're wrestling, and they get near the edge, and you go, pow, and you go, ah! And then you go, all right. So then another thing we used to do, I don't see they do anymore, maybe it's different Ganga or something, but another thing we used to do is mud packs. Because the mud on the bank, they still do? The mud on the bank of the Ganga is like black, like Kalamiti. And the devotees just go swimming, and then they would, because they come from the west and it's cold, it's freezing cold, it's winter time in January, February when we come to Mayapur festival time. So go and get this black mud, and we covered all of our faces. And always see the person's eyes. And everybody looked like there was some kind of salamanders or something. You know, all the devotees would lie in the bank of the Ganga in the sun, and it would all bake. You ever did it? It would bake until it's dry. Just, you know, the whole body except your eyes is covered with black mud. Your head, because we had shaved heads, so pack on the mud and just lie there. And dry out, and everybody look at you. And everybody, sometimes they're sitting around, and we'd read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And everyone's sitting around all this mud. It looked like a bunch of some kind of weird amphibious creatures or something came out of the Ganga, you know. They're all covered, all you could see was the eyes like this. Like God, everything's black mud everywhere, you know, and they smile and they're reading Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's unforgettable. I can't forget this time. And then when you're lying there and it gets so hot when that sun's baking on that black mud, you really get, it's like sauna. Then you jump in and wash it all off. I don't know exactly what this has to do with the surrender to the holy name, but it's an interesting diversion. I mean, Mayapur is a place of the holy name, so you can see it like that. But the point we're making is that Anukulyasya Sankalpa, surrender means to accept things that are favorable for Krishna consciousness. So you want to sport, then you can swim in the Ganga or Jamuna or in this pilgrimage place. This Bay of Bengal, which has become a pilgrimage place because Lord Chaitanya bathed every day and he buried the body of Haridas Thakur here. And he declared himself, he said, I declare from this day forward that this is a holy Tirtha. This ocean, this Samudra, is a holy Tirtha.
Anyone who bathes here will become purified and attain Sukriti. So that's, we can swim, we can wrestle. Krishna was wrestling also. Coward boys are always wrestling. And I said we were in that mood of wrestling, because Prabhupada told us, because the devotees like the sport. They were young, we were young, we wanted the sport around. So he said, you can wrestle. You can wrestle and swim in the Ganga. So that's still going on. The third symptom is faith in Krishna as one's protector. Rakshishyatiti Vishvaso. Krishna, one must actually feel and think that Krishna is my only protector. I can derive nothing from Gyan, Yoga, and other such practices. This expresses one's trust, Vishvas, in Krishna. The fourth symptom of surrender is a deliberate acceptance of Krishna as one's maintainer. Guptritve Varanam. Varana means to accept. Varana. Gupta. Gupta means the maintainer. Guptritve. And one feels, I cannot do anything or even maintain myself by my own endeavor. I will serve Krishna as best I can, and he will surely take care of me. Of course, this doesn't mean that, and we serve according to our position in life. You know, if we're a family person or whatever, we have our service. We'll do what we, not that we sit down, okay, I'll just sit down and Krishna will take care of me. No, this, Arjuna wanted to do that, and Krishna said, no, you get up, you fight. If according to your position, you have your duty. And it has to be done, but done as service to Krishna, as best we can. The fifth symptom of surrender is atmanic shape. Who am I? I am Krishna's. My only duty is to fulfill Krishna's desire. This is submission of the self, atmanivedan. The sixth symptom of surrender is karpanye, humility. I am wretched, insignificant, and mentally destitute. So, of course, we may be highly qualified, and maybe at least think ourselves socially or economically quite significant, or highly placed in society, coming from aristocratic or high birth. But the general mood of a devotee is, when he approaches God, or the Absolute Truth, is that actually, what am I? I think I'm a big man, or I have a big position, I'm a big family, I come from a big family in this village. And when I grew up, we had probably the richest family in the village. 18 acres of property. Everybody else had 60 feet by 120 feet property. You know, 60. We had 18 acres. All kinds of cars. So and we were a little puffed up also. But the devotee, when it comes to Krishna, he's supposed to understand. He starts to understand what is my position actually. Nothing. So insignificant. I'm one soul, and there's millions of souls right in this veranda. There's millions and millions of jiva souls here. Visible and invisible. More invisible than visible. And I'm one of them. So then we feel, in relationship with Krishna, that I'm very wretched, very insignificant. Since there is no difference between Krishna's holy name, one can think of the six symptoms of surrender in relation to the Mahamantra. So this is the technique. It's called Japa Meditation's technique. Think of the six symptoms of surrender in relation to the Mahamantra. Because the Mahamantra is Krishna. So we think we should accept things that are favorable for Krishna, or the service or pleasure of Krishna. Then we can think we should accept things that are favorable for the chanting of Hare Krishna. Like getting up at 4 a.m. What did you say? When somebody, I think it was our friend, she was saying that some astrologer or somewhere she read, that if you get up at 4 a.m., I don't know, I never read it, but I've heard, if you get up every day at 4 a.m., you'll become intelligent. If you get up every day at 3 a.m., then you'll develop love for all living entities. You'll feel great compassion for other living entities if you get up at 3 a.m. If you get up at 2 a.m., then you're crazy. No. If you get up at 2 a.m., then you'll develop love of God. Yeah, it must be crazy also. Of course, you have to be crazy if you want to get love of God. Yeah, Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to wake up at 2 o'clock. Well, Prabhupada used to wake up at 1. So if you wake up at 2, you'll get love of God.
If you wake up at 1, you get love for Radharani.
Yeah.
Arivo. Or love for Prabhupada. Either one. He's a pure devotee of Radharani, so either way you win. At any rate, the main point is to wake up. And once you're up, whatever time that is, then chant Hare Krishna. You asked me a question about 1:30, chant your next day's rounds. Well, the whole, because sometimes people get up early and this and that, start chanting. Well, see, we discussed this point in one other class. And different yugas, Kali, Satya Yuga, and Treta, Dwapara, and Kali, that the calculation of the beginning of the day was different. That's why there's some confusion, because these books are still around. But in Satyuga, the day was began at midnight. Uh-huh. And then at, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, day began Brahma Muhurta Hour, which is like 90 minutes before sunrise. But in Kali Yuga, which we're all in, deeply, the calculation of the day is sunrise. That's why when you read, previously, you read some books, like you read some Puranas, they discuss about Ekadasi. Said one should not eat any food or drink anything after 8 o'clock at night, because the night before on Dasami, because then because at midnight starts a new day. But now in Kali Yuga, of course, you shouldn't eat any food after an evening of Dasami, because the idea is that those grains will come out early in the morning, so there'll be no grains, pretty much no grains in your body. It takes about 15 hours to digest or so to clear your stomach, roughly. And so there'll be no grains in your body during Ekadasi. But in Kali Yuga, Ekadasi begins at sunrise. So when you read about it, it says you should fast from sunrise to sunrise. That's why the Paran time is at sunrise. You know, the time for breaking fast is at sunrise. Because the beginning time is sunrise on Ekadasi, and you break the fast on sunrise on Dwadasi. 11th day and 12th day. That's considered 24 hours. That's one full day. So therefore, when you're chanting rounds, sometimes people are up for Janmashtami, they're up at midnight, so I'm going to chant tomorrow's rounds. You can do that. Sankalpa. Really, the day doesn't begin till after sunrise, technically speaking. But if your schedule is every day I get up at 2 or 3, and then it's always like you're chanting the previous day, but that's your rounds for that 24-hour period. In other words, every 24-hour period, you're chanting 64 rounds or 32 or whatever. So you're doing it. So technically, you're not doing it during the. You know, you're doing it the night of the previous day or something, right? So a lot of people, they're very clever. They want to do Nirjal Ekadasi, so they get up at 3 o'clock and drink 10 liters of water. They get up at 3 a.m. and drink 10 liters of water.
That's bonafide.
It's bona fide. That's a concession, because Kali Yuga, we're really out of it. We don't have much power to perform austerities. So some people may feel that's cheating to get up before sunrise. I was raised by one faster, Krishna Balaram Swami, and he said we should not eat or drink anything after 6 o'clock at night on Dasami. So we never did. And sometimes now in our older age, since we've been doing this like 28 years nirjal, we sometimes drink some water in the morning. If we feel like we wake up and we're like super thirsty, and we know we're going to like die. Because what happens tonight, when I don't get enough water, I get terrible headaches. Now, before I didn't have any problems. Like you're doing 64 rounds, doing 28 years nirjal. So it's now I'm getting a little bit burned out. But sometimes I drink water, so I guess I'm cheating or whatever. But it's not cheating, you know, because the day begins at 6 o'clock and whatever. So this is a concession. Kali Yuga has a lot of concessions in it. We need it. We need all the help we can get. Because we're really lazy. I'm really stupid. I'm really, like, driven by all lower desires. So this technique, it's given in this chapter, Japa Meditation Techniques, that these six symptoms of surrender, we can call it the technique of chanting Japa with the six symptoms. So
So this is, I mentioned one. So the first thing, accept things that are favorable for Krishna consciousness, reject things that are unfavorable. So here's an example. Thus, while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra in japa, one can take a solemn vow. Solemn vow means sankalp. Quote, I will accept only those people, places, actions, thoughts, desires, and feelings that are conducive to chanting Shuddha Nam. Now we reject everything opposed to it. So that's two principles. One is anukalyasya sankalpa, and then that's accepting anukalyasya sankalpa. And pratikulyasya vajana means reject things that are against me. Pratikul, against me, reject those things. So what do I accept? I accept people and places. Like, is going to the club, nightclub, is that a good place for chanting japa? Probably not.
Selling books.
Yes, we sell books anywhere we do that. But chanting japa is probably not such a good place. And is it a good place to chant japa sitting next to her husband and watching the Pakistan-Indian cricket match? Is that a good time to chant our japa? No, that's not a very good place to be. You may have to be there, but not very good japa. It's cricket japa.
Cooking balas
head. Yeah. What about, or like Barsha? We saw, of course, she maybe hears this tape. Barsha, she drives a car. We went to one program in Punjabi or somewhere. I don't know where. We were coming back one car, and she came by next to us. She was driving the car, Zen car with a stick shift, and she had her bead bag. She's driving. I rolled down the window, stopped, I said, what is this? You're going to crash your car. What are you doing? At least sometimes they have these clicker things, it's a little easier, metal machine type. She had a bead bag all wrapped around her hand like this. Maharaj, I'm used to it. I do it all the time. She's like this, I'm used to it. I said, stop it. Take off the bead bag. Okay. She took off the bead bag. Then when I turned this way, then she got the view. this is a point. This is how we apply the six symptoms of surrender to our chanting of japa. It's a technique. We have to think. We have to see elimination and acceptance. These are principles of progress. If you want to make progress, there has to be elimination and acceptance. You have to eliminate the negative and accept the positive. You have to eliminate the bad things and accept the good things. If something is bad, something's an obstacle, something's an impediment, then we should try to eliminate it, finish it, overcome it. We jump the hurdles. So this is a technique. So we're chanting Hare Krishna. We're chanting, say, oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. I have to accept things that are favorable for chanting Shuddha Nam. Has everyone heard what I said? Accept only those people, places, actions, thoughts, desires, and feelings that are conducive to chanting Shuddha Nam, which means pure Nam. So we're chanting, we have to think, sometimes I meet this person or that person, this girl in the temple, and she says all this prajapa and all these stupid things. Is this favorable for chanting pure name? No, this is not. So I should just avoid this person. She always speaking badly about devotees. She's like we have this phrase, negative number. Some people are, she's a negative number. She's a bring down. I don't know what kind of terms they use now, but this is the kind of terms we would use back in the 70s. He's a bring down. He's a negative number. Bring me down. Someone brings me down to a lower level of consciousness or lower outlook. The person is envious. Some person is envious and offensive. And if I mix with them, then I become envious and offensive. So that's going down. So then we have to eliminate, accept good association, eliminate the bad. So that's what it means. Acceptance and rejection means if you want to make progress anywhere in life, you have to accept and eliminate or reject. You get in your car, then you're there. If you want to make progress, you have to give up your attachment to your parking space. So, this parking space is very nice. I'm going to stay here all day. You sit in your car. No, you have to eliminate. You have to reject. You have to give up that and accept the highway. And pull out onto the highway, then you make progress to your workplace or wherever you have to go. So bhakti is like this also. Because this is why the Shuddha Nam is not coming. Because there's obstacles that we're not rejecting. I will reject everything opposed to it. Now the second thing is rakshishya
means faith. Gunshna, complete faith in Krishna. So I have complete faith, which means love and full love and trust that the name of Krishna is my only protector. These six symptoms of surrender apply to Krishna, the person, personality of God, the absolute truth. But now we're saying there's no difference between the name and the person, so we're applying these six symptoms of surrender directly to the name, Sri Nam Prabhu. So we're saying that this name, this Hare Krishna, this Maha Mantra, this name, this is my only protector. I have full love and trust. And then, next thing is Gopchitve Varanam Tata. That God is my maintainer. God is maintaining me. He's giving me light. He's giving me water. He's giving me food. He's digesting my food. He's maintaining my body. What do I know? I just put some alu tikki inside and some rasgulla, some rajma, and some puri and sabji, and the rest is up to Krishna. We don't say, okay, now I have to break this into protein, I have to break this into carbon, I have to send some over here and send some over there. We don't figure all that out. The body is all mastermind of the body is the super soul. So God is maintaining us. So now if we apply this to the holy name, we will say that the name, as I said, the name is alone I am powerless, but Krishna's name is maintaining me and taking care of all my needs. All I have to do is chant, chant, chant. The Krishna is maintaining me. Because this is yajna. Krishna says in Gita, Saha yajna parovacha anena kamaduk. Says in the beginning of creation, Krishna says, I sent forth generations of men and demigods. And I said, be thou happy by this sacrifice, who will bestow upon you all desirable things. Saha yajna parat praja shristva. Praja Shrishtva, the beginning of Shrishtva, the beginning of creation, I send all the Praja, Saha Yajna, along with Yajna. So our Yajna is chanting Hare Krishna. It's called Nam Yajna, Sankirtan Yajna. We chant Hare Krishna, everything comes. Prabhupada often said in Los Angeles, he said, what are we doing? All we're doing is chanting Hare Krishna. And everything's coming. Of course, they're working. They're working hard in book production and selling. But our basic, besides everything that's moving around that, the basic activity devotees do is chant Hare Krishna. Of course, they're also very busy and very active. Publishing, writing, puja, preaching, traveling, building temples. They do so many activities. They're very active. They're not lazy people. They're very active. But it's all actions in relation to Nam. Everything they're doing is in relation to the holy name. There's no separate activity. They're building a temple so people can come inside and chant Hare Krishna. They're distributing books, they're doing puja, everything is for Nam. Like in the material world, they say all for naught. Naught, N-A-U-G-H-T, it means nothing. Old English, naught. All for nothing. We say all for Nam. Material is all for naught and all for... In other words, all for naught. The materialists, they work so hard and at the end you have nothing. Zero. You die. Everything's left behind you. Right, you come into this world naked, and you go out of this world naked. It's interesting. You come into the world. How's a baby come into the world? You ever see how a baby comes in? It comes into the world like this. His fists are like this. And then he gets a little control of his motor system, his voluntary nervous system. Then he opens his hands. And then he has his hands open. And for the next 80 years, he grabs everything he can. With those hands, he grabs and grabs and grabs. And then finally, he's dying. And when a person dies, his hands also go like this. Yeah, you see, they're holding onto the bed. They're holding onto the bed, or they're holding... And then they die like this. It's called rigor mortis. They get stiff. So... Huh? Out of pain, yeah. It's like you go to the dentist's office, you know, and you're holding the arm, and you're holding onto the thing. It's like, you know, it's like, wow, it's like too much painful. So this is development of these six principles of surrender and applying them to the holy name. So one of the principles of surrender is to karpan atmanikshepa, means to give up everything to God. So we transpose that into the holy name by saying, I am His, everything for Nam. My only duty is to serve Krishna's name by chanting with pure love. O most sweet and beautiful Sri Nam Prabhu, I am wretched, worthless, crazy, and insignificant. I am lower than a straw in the street. Now please be causelessly merciful to me. Please pick me up and keep me as a particle of dust at your lotus feet. So this is the mood. Nice prayer is given here. On this page 181. O Sri Nam Prabhu, please be merciful to me. Please pick me up and keep me as a particle of dust at your lotus feet. Any questions on this? These six symptoms, we review these six symptoms and apply them to the chanting of the holy name. Om is present in the Hare Krishna mantra. Well, this kind of idea, because generally people think Om is Omkar indicates the Brahman. And of course it does, it indicates Brahman. But it's a sum total of all possible sounds. Ah, oo, and M. Ah, O, and M. Om, Om, Om. Everywhere there's Om. So Jiva Goswami, he writes in the Bhagavad Sandarbha, he writes an analysis of Om. And this is in my Gayatri book, you can see detail. How Om indicates Radha and Krishna. Because Om is a primordial sound. In this universe, Om is there. But this Om is actually coming from Krishna's flute. Krishna is playing his flute, and Krishna's flute is vibrating the Kam beach, which is Klim. Ka, La, Im, Klim. And then when that Klim comes across into this world, it becomes Om. So he explains that Ah is Krishna, and U is Radha, and M is the living entity. So this is everything. There's Krishna and his internal potency, then his marginal potency. Everything is there in Om. But that Om is in the Hare Krishna mantra. Ha is Ah, and then U is there, and Ram. Ram is U, is there. Then M is there, Ram. So that those sounds are also mixed there. Not only the sounds of Om are mixed in the sound or the mantras of the Hare Krishna mantra, but the conception. Because the ultimate conception, if you take it from the yogic viewpoint, Om is simply Brahman, undifferentiated consciousness. Now Krishna is telling in Gita, Krishna is saying, Rasoham apsukonteya prabhasmi shashishuriyo pranava saravedeshu shabdake purushamneshu. He says, pranava saravedeshu. The saravedeshu. He says, in all the Vedas, I am the pranava. I am the pranava omkara. Krishna says, that is me. Bhagavan is speaking. So Krishna, Mahamantra is Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna's name is there. So Krishna speaking Gita Arjuna. And he's saying this, pranavada sarvavedeshu, of all the Vedas, because the primordial sound of all the Vedas, of the Shabda Brahman of all the Vedas is Om. Then meditating on Om, then so many other ideas and concepts came from this Om. It's like the same thing. It's like the banyan seed. Banyan seed is expanded. It's like a zip file. You zip a file on a computer, then you can expand it later. So Om is like a zipped. All the mantras, all the Vedic, some totality of Vedic sound is compressed in Om. But the original vibration is the vibration of Krishna's flute. In the spiritual world, Krishna's flute is vibrating. And everything is moving on the vibration of Krishna's flute. And it's vibrating a Kling. Kling is a Kam beach. Kam beach means the Radha and Krishna are there in divine union, Kling. But this same is claimed that we have yoga maya functioning in the spiritual world, in the material world we have mahamaya. So this claim becomes Om. And Om does all the functions of material creation. Everything in this material world is conducted by Om. So that claim, which is Krishna's flute, and which is moving and vibrating and maintaining the whole spiritual world, that comes as Om in this world. So Om actually means Radha and Krishna. It's like this. You can read more detail in the Gayatri book. other thing about chanting with surrender. This is a technique. So you, for 1 week or whatever, you chant, you try practicing these ideas on page 181. Oh Krishna, you're chanting Holy Name. Krishna, I want to accept. Please help me, Oh Holy Name. Please help me to accept. Anukulya, Anukulya, Anukulya Sisankapa. I want to take a vow. I want to take a vow to accept that I actually seriously try to find people that like to chant the Holy Name and chat with them and avoid these detractions to the Holy Name. Detracting places, detracting people. Positive environment. Conducive arrangement for proper chanting. Can Om reveal Krishna's pastimes? Yes, of course. Because in chanting any mantra, there has to be the chintata. Mantra artha chintata. What conception? What is your mentality? What is the meaning? Because every mantra has a meaning. So when you chant the mantra, meditate on the meaning, then that meaning that you're meditating on will be revealed to you when the mantra is pleased. So Om, when you take Jiva Goswami's description, which is told in my Gaichavak very elaborately, that Om actually indicates Radha and Krishna. And then you have that conception in your mind when you chant Om, then obviously that mantra will reveal Radha and Krishna. But generally, people, they chant Om to realize that they're Brahman, or Om Tat Sat, I am that Absolute, I am that Transcendence, I am God, Om, Om, Om. Interesting, we have the word for our house, we call our house home. And then of course you in your home you do a home. When you do a yajna in your home, it's called home in the home. Homa in the home. Sometimes they just say home, they don't say the A, right? They say home. Home in the home. Or we say home is not a home. I don't know, home is not a home? Yeah. No, but I mean, we say a home is not a house is. Oh,
home is not a
place. A house is not a home.
Yeah.
A house is not a home. What does that mean? So if you have a house, but there's no homely feelings, no loving feelings, then it's not a home. It's only a house. And if you're not chanting there, if it's a house without Om, it's not a home. So in your house, you have to chant Om. Then your house will become a home. Right? Home. It's like this. So this next category is called attitude to attract the all attractive. So that technique is called the six symptoms of surrender. You can practice chanting and mix each of these symptoms of surrender with the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Krishna, oh Holy Name, oh Krishna, I'm only chanting your name and trying to surrender to your name, and I see that actually you're maintaining me. I really feel it. I really feel that you're maintaining me. And please help me to realize that I'm actually powerless to maintain myself. You're giving me the strength. You're giving me the strength. You're giving me the ability. You're giving me the intelligence to carry on with my activities and my endeavors, and without you, what am I? I'm flat. If somebody hits me on the head, they just take a hammer, tonk, hit me on the head, then I get amnesia, then I can't do anything. I forget everything. I forget who I am, I forget my identity, I forget all my so-called skills and powers, and I become like a vegetable. They have this term, he becomes like a vegetable. You have to put some tube in your nose. One tube in your nose to put food in your stomach, another tube in your nose to put air in your lungs. You become like a vegetable. I've seen people like this in the hospital I visited. One tube going in a nose, going down to the stomach. And they mix, and then they have a thing like this, and they make food in a mixie like spinach and all these things. And they put it in a needle, and they put it in that tube, and it goes down the tube into their stomach. They stay alive. When their lungs are so weak, then they put a tube in their nose, and it, artificial oxygen breathing system, and then that puts air in their lungs, and they keep. So if God withdraws his support, then nowhere. can't do anything. Golokera prema dana hari nama sankirtana ratti na janmi lokena tai. Golokera prema dana hari nama sankirtana ratti na janmi lokena tai. This is from Narottam Das Thakur Mahashaya, from his Prarthana, his book of prayers. He's describing something about the holy name. He's saying the treasure of love of God has descended, Premadan, has descended from the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan, appearing in this world as the Sankirtan movement of chanting Hari's holy names. Alas, why am I not attracted to it? Rati na janmilo kine tai. Rati means attachment. Rati means attachment, also means attraction, attachment, also bhav. Na janmilo. This hasn't appeared. Janma hasn't taken birth. What's wrong with me? This great treasure from far, far, far away in the spiritual world, the highest, topmost planet of the spiritual world, the center of the spiritual world, the very center of the lotus of the spiritual dimension, Brajagokul Goloka Vrindavan. This name has come down like a great treasure. It's come all the way down to my doorstep. And the Harinam party is passing by my doorstep and they're chanting Hare Krishna. Jeev Jago, wake up, chant Hare Krishna. And I'm so unfortunate. I'm so foolish. I'm so lazy that I have no attraction for it. Alas. So he's Kine Tai, alas, alas. So in this bhajan, Narottam Das Thakur says that Goloka Prem, pure love of God, in the mood of Braj, has descended from the spiritual world in the form of chanting, in form of the chanting vibration. Although the all-attractive sweet Lord Krishna is approaching everyone through his holy names, he cannot be perceived without the proper attitude. Sometimes you get a report from the teacher when you're in school, a category about attitude. So your son has a poor attitude. His attitude is not good. He's a smart boy, but his poor attitude. He should improve his attitude. They say like this. So what is attitude? Attitude refers to one's mood, mentality, approach, viewpoint, or mindset regarding a person or activity. One should chant japa with an attitude of service and surrender, begging for Krishna's mercy. Service and surrender, begging for Krishna's mercy. This is a lot. This is a lot to cough up, a lot to give. A mood of service, a mood of surrender to the holy name, wanting to serve the holy name, and what's the last thing? What? Begging for Krishna's mercy. Chanting the holy name without a service attitude produces sound, but not divinity. Sound. This is sound. There's no God there. There's only sound. So we're simply saying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, but there's no backing. It's not backed by an attitude of service, a sincere desire to serve Krishna, to serve his devotees, Hari Guru Vaishnava Seva. Then there's no divinity there. Krishna's not there. The sound is there, but Krishna's not there. So chanting must be saturated with the mentality of selfless service, desiring only to please Krishna. Srila Prabhupada always said chanting means begging for service. Oh my Lord Krishna, oh my Lord's energy, oh my Lord's energy, Hare Radha, please engage me in your service. The true transcendental name of Krishna can be heard only through the serving mind, not through the material ears of the enjoying mind. It's a very interesting sentence. Can you follow that one?
Serving mind.
Yeah. Right? Because what does the mind do? What are the actions of the mind? Three actions.
Think.
Feel.
And
will. Yeah. Act. Thinking, feeling, and willing. Chintata.
Bhav and Icha. Thinking, feeling, and willing. So this is, the mind is doing like this. So when it says that, Prabhupada is saying here that the true transcendental name of Krishna can be heard only through the serving mind. So mind is always thinking to do service. The mind is always feeling to do service. Oh, I have a feeling. I really want to serve the devotees, but I'm stuck over here and wherever I am and so far from the temple, I can't find any devotees over here. Anyway, as soon as I get an opportunity, I'll go to the temple, I'll serve the devotees. It's a feeling. It's a bhav. It's a feeling. It's a good feeling. It's a pure feeling. Because now our feelings are, I want to enjoy. I want everyone to serve me. I want to enjoy on the center. Everyone should understand that. Listen, everybody. I'm number one. And no, there's no other number one. So everyone should serve me. But this is a nice phrase. The true transcendental name of Krishna can be heard only through the serving mind, not through the material ears of the enjoying mind. So the mind is always thinking of sense pleasure and feeling for sense pleasure and willing and acting for sense pleasure. The holy name can't be heard in those ears. As some sound vibration is tintillating the tympanic nerve. Some sound vibration is tintillating the tympanic nerve. But there's no Krishna dancing there. No Krishna. Krishna's gone the other way. Oh, you want to enjoy? Okay, bye. Sound goes in one ear, Krishna goes out the other ear.
Yes, sir.
You catch the sound, but you can't catch me. Bye. Boop. I'm gone. Right. So this is a problem. Should be addressed. Now Prabhupada says, by a service attitude, if you chant the Hare Krishna mantra without any offense, then Krishna will reveal himself. Krishna will reveal himself. So we chant with a service, with a mood of service. Krishna, really I want to serve you. I really don't want anything else. You mean that? You really mean that? Well, I mean, not... I mean, mostly, I mean... Sometime. I mean, once in a while. I mean, occasionally. I mean, every other year or so. I feel like this. Some kind of very, very sincere feelings arise in me. I don't know if it's the stars or the weather or the season or because my uncle died or whatever. All these kind of feelings come inside of me, like really I feel sincere and I really feel like I really want to serve you, Krishna. Hare Krishna, please engage in your service. And I don't really feel anything else coming inside of me. But then after the cremation of my uncle, and then I wait a few days and things settle down to normal and the boys invite me over for out to dinner and we enjoy a little bit, and then I forget about all that prayer. Then back to square one, business as normal. Maya takes over and takes me for a ride. So this is a problem. What Prabhupada's saying, by a service attitude, because this section, what's it called? The attitude to attract the all-attractive. And Prabhupada's saying, this is it. You want to attract the all-attractive? You want to see Krishna? Then by a service attitude, if you chant Hare Krishna mantra without any offense, then Krishna will reveal himself, Sakshat Darshan. Our progress depends on the favor of the higher side. It does not depend so much on our own ability, but on our submission and surrender, our hankering for mercy. My attitude must invite the higher authority to come down to my level and help me, favor me. To attract the Lord's attention, we shall require surrender, submission, and humility. To attract the Lord's attention, we shall require
submission,
surrender, submission,
and humility.
We can press our position by praying.
Yes.
We can like try to, you know, bribe the lower ministers so we can push our work higher to the higher minister. So we can press our position by praying, "Oh my Lord, I am in the worst need. Without your grace I cannot stand. I am really utterly helpless. I cannot endure or maintain without your favor." If we truly feel ourselves to be low and in want, then the supply of mercy will come from the higher plane. Everything moves according to Krishna's sweet will. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Christians have this prayer, right? So it's a fact. Thy will shall be done. Thy will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means Krishna's Ichha Shakti. Ichha Shakti is doing everything. Everything moves according to Krishna's sweet will. Our problem is how to draw Krishna's attention. This will be possible only by increasing our negative tendency, by proving to Krishna in a bona fide way that I am the most needy, maha needy. So this, we have to somehow prove to the higher authorities that we really need the mercy. So this attitude, this is all about attitude. This whole section is about improving our attitude in our approach to the holy name. And this very word is used by Srila Prabhupada. Service, what kind of attitude? Service attitude. Das, 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 anandas. Any questions? Yeah, it's a nectar devotion. Once there was a small, choti chiriya?
Yeah.
Say choti.
Choti chiriya.
Choti chiriya. And he had some eggs down there at the ocean, which is rather strange, but the story is that this little bird like sparrow, some kind of little sandpiper or something, laid her eggs in the sand. And then she was keeping eye on those eggs, and then the waves came up from the beach, like we're here on the beach, it's quite appropriate we're here. The waves came up and they moved the sand and they snatched the eggs and they took her eggs away. And she said, "Oh, my eggs went away, now my babies are in the ocean. This is not good. They'll drown over there because birds don't swim in the water too well. At least these kind of birds." So then she was very determined. She said, "Oh, this ocean's taken my eggs. I have to get my eggs back." So she sat there. She was so determined. She said, "I'm going to take all the water out of this ocean. I'm only a sparrow." So she sat there one beak at a time. And she's throwing out this water with her beak. And then, not much going on, very slow progress. And she's really becoming frantic and very much disturbed. And so then she was just, you know, very, so much suffering and distraught over losing her babies and the egg, baby eggs. So then Garuda was flying overhead. And Garuda said, "Oh, my little bird, one of my bird friends, bird Gotra, Pakhi Gotra. Same Gotra." They came down and said, "What, my little friend, what is the problem?" "Oh, the ocean took my eggs, my babies." "Acha? What are you doing?" "I'm trying to take the water out." "So what, you think you can do?" "Yes, I have faith. I have faith. I'm a devotee bird. Bhakta Pakhi. And I know that God will help me, so I'm determined to do my part. I'm doing my part and I'm sure that God will help me. I'm just taking this water out." "So really, you think that God will come?" He said, "I don't know, I have this faith." So then Garuda said, "Listen, I'll help you." So then Garuda just took all the water out. And then the ocean personified came to Garuda. "Oh please, Garuda, please. All my disciples, I mean not disciples, but all my little fishes, all my praja, the god of the sea, he came and said, 'Look, everyone's complaining. There's no water over here. And all the business is stopped. No one can swim around anymore. Everyone's just lying down on the bottom of the ocean. There's no water.'"
So please, you know, you give this water back. And then Guru said, but you have to give the eggs back to my little friend. Okay, okay, take your eggs and I'll be happy. So then, then Garuda put back all the water, and then that fish can swim around and be like a fish. Big fish, little fish. So this is a story, it's in Nectar Devotion, and illustrates, there's a painting there also, and illustrates how, determination. That if one is determined, then they'll get success. Do you know another story about determination? About the, you know the story of the two frogs? No, shh. There's once two frogs, frog A and frog B. And these two frogs were in a village, and they were jumping around doing frogging, you know, frogging around. Frogging around. And they were jumping, and they went in the barn. And the man, in the goshala, you say goshala, and the gopa, he had just milked the cow, and there was some balti of milk there. So the frogs were jumping, and then they both jumped, and they both landed in a pail of milk. You know the story? And the two frogs are in the milk pail. And they said, oh, it's very slippery, they couldn't get out, they're all stainless steel milk pail, they try to go like this, they just slide down. And then one frog A said, what do we do? He said, well, just keep going like this, you know. You keep paddling. They were doing the frog, you know, the frog thing, you know.
Frog style.
Frog, whatever they call it, frog style. You know, legs like this. And, you know. They were just frogging around inside the milk. And then one frog A said, I'm getting very tired. I really can't go on. He said, no, you have to keep going. I just have faith. Something, don't you believe? You believe in God? Yeah, I believe in the big frog, but... You know, the big frog is like God for them. I believe in the big frog and God. Frog and God, you know, it's like that. So, but I, you know, anyway, yeah, it's just, have faith. Just have faith. You know, God will save us. Have faith. So he's okay. And he's going. Just keep paddling. He said, I don't know, my faith is waning. You know, I'm losing my determination. I've been chanting Hare Krishna for so many years and nothing's happening and I just keep paddling in this milk and nothing's happening. I don't know. I don't think this mantra works or doesn't work for me. It works for you, but not me. And I had to try something else out. I mean, I tried this thing. It just really doesn't work. I'm not getting anywhere. I'm getting nowhere fast. So I'm... No. Come on. And then Frog B preaches to Frog A. Come on. Listen, I'll preach Bhagavad Gita to you. Never is a time when I did not exist, nor you know all these things. Nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Right? Oh, yeah, that sounds good. Okay. So then he goes more frogging, you know, paddling over there, frog move, whatever they call it. So after some time he gets so tired, he says, I know my faith is waning, my determination is waning, and I just quit, you know. He said, no, if you quit, how can you quit? If you quit, you're just blub, 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 you know, be drowned in the milk. So, okay, I'll keep going. So he goes, I can't help anymore, bloop. And he went and the frog blooped. Frog A, he blooped. He slipped under the into the watery grave of the milk. And that was it. And the other frog said, I can't stop. Even though Frog A went down, I have faith. I have faith in the big frog. I have faith in God. Something happened. So he just kept going. Do you know what happened? He kept going like this, and very frantically moving the milk like this. Milk, and pretty soon, the milk turned into butter. Because milk, you know, when you churn milk, it becomes butter. So all of his, like, churn with his little legs going, this is like, it became butter. And when it was butter, it was solid. He jumped up on that butter and jumped out of the milk pail. Harivo! So this is a story of determination and faith. He was determined and he had faith in God, the big frog. So then, he didn't know anything about milk turns into butter. If you churn milk, then it becomes butter. The buttermilk separates from the butter and you get solid butter. So the same thing, we have to keep on going. They say, they have phrase in business, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And when you get to the end of your rope, you tie a knot and hold on. There's another phrase they have. They say, I'm at the end of my rope, I'm finished, I'm frustrated. I'm discouraged. I can't go on. I'm at the end of my rope. Okay. Tie a knot and hang on. Some good times will come. Don't let go. It's like this. Should I go on?
It's different. Another point. The squirrel was giving his full effort to build a bridge to Lanka, carrying a little tiny pebble. Then Guru says, hey, Hanuman said, what is this, you small fry? Get out of here. I'm going to step on you. Get out of the way. You're taking one pebble. Look at me up top. Boom. Dom, dom. I'm putting these big boulders in mountains, and I just throw one rock, and it'd take you 500 lifetimes to get nothing with your little pebbles. So then Ram saw some problem here. Hanuman was coming proud. That's also a problem. Bhagavan doesn't like pride in his devotees. So Hanuman was proud of his endeavor. But actually Hanuman was effortlessly picking up these big boulders and just flying up to him. On this little squirrel, he was always, all his strength, every ounce of his strength, he says, I have to help Ram. I have to use every ounce of my strength. And he's picking up these little pebbles with his nose and carrying them over with his two little hands like this. You know, dong! Oh. Picking up the biggest possible pebble he could to make the bridge. So he was giving 150% of his energy to Ram to build the bridge. Full capacity plus more. But it was only one little pebble. And Hanuman, and this is what Ram told him, he said, listen, this squirrel is giving me 150% of his energy. All his energy is giving, although, okay, he's only carrying. Quantity-wise, his effort is only one pebble. Quantity-wise, you're carrying a big mountain. But quality counts. Quality service. So he was giving quality, means he was giving every ounce of his strength and more. All his mental, emotional, physical strength. And then Hanuman, he was also working very hard and very dutifully and diligently in Dasya Bhav. But he was not giving it as everything. He was flying, okay, take this mountain. Yeah, boom, boom. Not like, oh, this is really big. So then Ram, he corrected Hanuman. He said, your mentality is some pride there. You can also do more. You're not giving your full capacity. You could do more. And he's giving me 150% everything. So I'm so happy with his service. I'm happy with quality. Baba Grahi Janardhan. Baba Grahi Janardhan. Janardhan is Krishna. He accepts the Grahi. The essence of the Bhav. What is the Bhav? What is the dedication? What is the surrender? So he's fully dedicated, fully surrendered, working to his full capacity. So Ram said, I'm very happy with him. Then Ram went like this, with these three fingers. And he pulled him across the back of the glary. Before that, he was only gray. He was only gray. Just gray back. But then when he got the touch of Ram, he got three racing stripes. Those three white stripes on the back of the squirrel. Because in America, they don't have. Squirrels are only gray. You don't know. You haven't been there. I know. So this is a Ram squirrel. Ram Galeri, Bhakta Galeri, Ram Bhakt. He got this. So that's his mark. He's forever marked. That's his scarlet letter. It's forever marked. Yes, I'm certified. I'm marked with the racing stripes of Ram. I'm certified that I've. So we want to take the lesson from that Galeri, that squirrel, to be fully dedicated, giving our utmost to serve the cause of the Lord. So this is attitude. She's making a point that when we wake up, we should wake up with Krishna. Wake up call. We should wake up. They have this thing, wake up call. When you go to a hotel or a motel, you dial a certain number and you say, please wake me up at 3:00. I have to go to the international airport, Indira Gandhi Airport, and get the flight to Paris. It's called wake up call. Facility in hotels. They call your room and they say, get up, Jack. Get out the door. So wake up call. So when we wake up, we should call out to Krishna. Hey Bhagavan. Hey Bhagavan. Hey Govinda Damo Dara Madhaviti. Hey Giridhari. Hey Rasvihari. Hey Bhanki Vihari. Hey Bhanki Vihari. Rasvihari. Giriraj. Oh Giriraj. Like this. If we have an Ishtadev, then we'll naturally will cry out to Ishtadev. The beginning of each day, the end of each day, the beginning of our spiritual life, and the end of our life, we'll cry out to the Lord. Hey Krishna, hey Giridhari, oh Radha Giridhari. Don't forsake me now.
I maybe forgot you so many times, but don't forget me now. So she made a point is when we wake up, usually people listen to the radio. On the radio there's some little jingle or little song. Ek do tin, da 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 da. Ek do tin, chinka chapupakak, chink do ta, tinka tapupati. And then you remember that all throughout the day. You're going in down in the market. Ek do tin. You're driving the car. Ek do tin. And he was like, what the hell am I doing? Ek do tin. What is this? Stupid jingle. I've been brainwashed. So she's saying instead of having some radio song, we should have Krishna's song. The transcendental song. This is a transcendental love song. This is the original love song. The Mahamantra is the one and only love song. O Krishna, I love you. O Krishna, you're my everything. O Krishna, I cannot live without you. What happens is when we come in the material world, we substitute Krishna for Suchi, for Mahek, for Aravind, for Gita. Everyone's waking up. What's up? Someone's talking for Sonia, for Bhavita, for Anamika. Anamika, what's Anamika's name?
Lakshmi.
Oh, Lakshmi. How can I forget? That's my problem. I never remember Lakshmi. So then we substitute. And the husband says, oh, Lakshmi, I love you more than anything. Oh, Lakshmi, I can't live without you. Oh, Lakshmi, you're my everything. Well, we should wake up each day and say, oh, Krishna, I love you more than anything. Oh, Krishna, I can't live without you, which is a fact. Oh, Krishna, I need you more than anything. But, so this is, if we sing this in the morning, this is a primordial love song. And that whole idea can best be expressed by waking up and saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then, as was told, if that song comes out of our mouth and goes into our ears, and we like it and we accept it, then throughout the day we'll be humming and chanting and remembering Krishna's name. A lot of devotees, they wake up, they have some tape player, they press it, immediately comes kirtan, Prabhupada's kirtan, or lecture. Krandan. Yeah, krandan. Bhakti yoga means remembering the name of Krishna while crying. Yeah. So, chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, we're chanting Krishna's holy name as an offering. It's an offering. Because we say it's Nam Yajna. It's a yajna. So when there's yajna, what do you do in yajna? You offer something to the fire. Is it right? Some sesame seeds, some barley, some bananas, some kheer. In a big yajna, you're also pouring kheer into the yajna. Proper yajna, actually offering kheer. Swaha, and you pour a kheer. You pour a ghee, you pour a kheer. All these things are offered to the fire. Swaha, swaha. So then you offer, and if it's proper substances, pure substances with proper mantra, then Yajnavai Vishnu. Yajnavai Vishnu, Yageshwara, the Lord of Yajna, Vishnu, he accepts the offering. But if you use buffalo ghee and all kinds of impure dravya, it's called dravya dosh, faults in the objects. Dravya dosh means faults in the articles that you offer, faulty articles, then of course it won't be accepted. It's a nakli yajna, bogus yajna. And so many yajnas are like that. People do Satyanarayan home, Satyanarayan puja, and a guy comes, some Brahmin comes in and makes a bunch of noise and a bunch of rituals, but he uses totally white buffalo ghee. Totally nakli. Useless. Just the only benefit you got is by giving a donation to the Brahmin. Brahmin Dan. As far as appealing to the demigods or appealing to Vishnu, no success. No success. So the offering is rejected, basically. So the analogy is being given here that when we're chanting Hare Krishna, it's called Nam Yajna. Kali Kalera Dharma Krishna. It says that this is Kalera Doshan Hey Raja Nasyeka Mahagan Kirtana Eva Krishna. No, it's. What is it that is Nam Yajna? Krishna Varanam Sri Sa Krishnam Sango Pangasha Parashanam Yajna Sankirtana Prayer. Sankirtan Yajna. This is the Yajna for Kali Yuga. Not the Swaha, but the Ha-Ha. Not Swaha, but Ha-Ha. Hare Krishna. This is called Nam Yajna. So the Nam Yajna means we're making an offering. Who is the object of our offering? Who are we offering to? We're offering to Krishna. We're offering to Radha. When we're chanting Japa or chanting Kirtan, we're making an offering. We're offering to Radha and we're offering to Krishna. Just like when you're putting ghee in the fire, you're offering to Vishnu. Or you may be doing a Deva Yajna, Deva Home. But even then, first they offer to Vishnu, then he gives the remnants to the Deva. Surya, Chandra, Indra, etc. So when we're making an offering, that offering should be very nice, very acceptable, very pleasing. And it's that offering will be pleasing, that nam will be pleasing if it's backed by surrender, if it's backed by service attitude, if it's backed by a sincere desire to please the Lord and satisfy the Lord. So then that name will be accepted. And the analogy is if you have a big silver tray, which is an very elaborate and, say, attractive arrangement for an offering, but then you pile up garbage on that silver tray, all kinds of refuse and garbage and worthless, useless things, and you come before some master or come before someone, here's a nice silver tray for you. That's a silver tray of garbage. Hey, yeah. He'll hit it. Yeah. It's useless. What are you, crazy? You're trying to insult me? Bring a silver tray full of garbage? Is this some kind of practical joke? Get out from here. But if you bring a silver tray and it's full of misty dahi and fruit salad and samosas and rubbery and Radhika and Krishna and Lalita and Vishaka and Garanga and Nittai and Dauji and all these things, and then it'll be very appealing and very attractive and very fragrant and very appealing and attractive to the eye to behold the colors, the shape, the design, very appealing to the nose to smell, and very appealing to the touch, and ultimately the most important thing, appealing to the tongue, the taste. Very satisfying offering. You'll be pleased to accept such a variegated offering. So this holy name, or the tray is the mantra. The silver tray is the mantra. And what we put on that tray is our bhav, our attitude, our mood, our surrender. So when all that is put on the tray and we offer this chanting to Krishna, and Krishna is very pleased and he accepts it. Is that what you're saying? Like this? Yeah, in the crying mood. The crying is the icing on the cake. I can make a cake, it's something, but then you put icing, then it's relishable. So we're chanting Krishna's name. There's always benefit whenever, don't misunderstand, whenever someone chants Krishna's name, whether they chant with offenses or without offenses, or they chant Shudanam, or they chant attentively or inattentively, or they chant jokingly or sarcastically, or even to indicate some other thing, there's benefit. There's benefit, there's promotion, there's progress, there's purification, there's punya, there's sukriti. All these things will happen. So it's not that, oh, well, what's the point? If I can't chant Shudanam, then forget it. That's like saying, well, if I can't make $1 million my first week out in business, well, forget about doing business. I may take a couple of weeks in business. Or maybe take a couple of years, and then you'll break through, or you'll get the idea, or you'll be successful. So we have to keep trying and keep chanting, and finally the perfection will come. Hare Krishna.